Episode 32, Part B of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded May 9th, 2015. More upfront previews. So this is part two of our epic look at the upfronts. It just kind of ran long on part one. Mm-hmm. We said we should split it here, especially considering that we still have ABC, CBS, CW, and a little bit of the PlayStation Network to cover.
Are you
here.
Are you saying you think we might have to do a third part or a part C?
No! Cut it out!
That's great.
I'm not doing C.
You're setting yourself up, Grant. You're setting yourself up for these jokes.
Oh, Randy, you're out. Get out of here. Get out of your house. We're recording.
Get out of your own house.
Yeah, I guess I gotta leave. Yeah.
Which networks are we gonna cover though, Grant? ABC.
Damn it. No.
It doesn't stop.
CBS. CW.
Motherfucker. We're gonna start with the American Broadcasting Corporation. All right, but seriously, let's start with ABC. Cancellations. They actually had a few as well here.
Yeah.
Forever.
Not forever.
Yeah. Listen to this first three. Right. Forever, Resurrection, and Revenge. It feels like those three should be like a triptych.
Yeah. Right.
So those three are gone. The Taste, and did you guys ever watch Crystalla?
That was like the lead up to Last Man Standing.
Yeah, my daughter expressed a little interest in it, and I was going to DVR it, but then we never got around to it.
Yeah, it's like your multi-camera sitcom from a Latino.
I did watch a season of The Taste. That may be one of the few shows I've hate watched.
Oh, okay.
By the end of it, I hated that. And I love Anthony Bourdain, and I actually liked one of the other judges well enough. Right. Nigella Lawson, I think, was I liked her.
Mm-hmm.
I hated the other two, and I grew to hate every contestant, I think. And I was watching it, and I couldn't stop watching it. And I was so glad. I was so glad when it ended, and I went after watching it, and they renewed the damn thing.
Right.
But I didn't watch the second season. I stayed away.
And then it looks like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff is a little bit dead in the water.
Yeah, it's too
bad. That was going to be the one with Mockingbird and...
Mockingbird and Lance Hunter, Lance Blood. Whatever his character name versus his real name was, I don't remember.
Yeah, I think Lance Hunter is actually the more boring name.
Yeah,
that's the
and Nick
name.
Blood is his real name.
His
that's
name's
right.
Nick
that's
Blood.
Right. Mm-hmm. His name's Nick Blood. I'm a little disappointed about that, but I won't be disappointed as long as they're still on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, which looks like they are going to be.
Yeah.
Because our renewals include Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, Nashville Once Upon a Time, Castle Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, Grey's Anatomy, the Shonda Rhimes Triumvirate, American Crime and Secret and Lies, Blackish Fresh Off the Boat, Goldberg's The Middle, Modern Family, and it seems that Gallivant was also renewed somehow.
That, Gallivant is the biggest shocker. Agent Carter is probably the biggest surprise that's pleasant.
Yeah.
Because the ratings were not great on
I heard,
Carter.
Though, that everyone really liked it. Most
it's really good. I liked it quite a bit.
And I subbed and finished it, so
it's
I need
good.
To get
it. It's good. I liked it.
ABC had a great season, didn't they? I mean, look at everything they renewed. Look at Blackish, Fresh Off the Boat, and I know the Goldbergs in the middle were... are longer in the tooth, but the Goldbergs is sort of finally coming into its own, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh Off the Boat and Blackish legit hits. I mean, they're building their comedy and their drama slate.
And Shonda Rhimes, man.
Yeah.
They're lucky.
I'm surprised Nashville is, because that show, it's like, again, because of DVR, I can watch the show in like the clips, so I don't ever have to watch the show anymore, and I see just how ridiculous they've gotten, people getting sick, babies being born, neglecting the babies while they're trying to do hit songs in Nashville. It's ridiculous. I had to stop watching the show, even though I love...
But it's got to have its audience, man.
It does. And it's kind of like...
It's hitting on that country thing,
It's
too.
The country version of Empire. Or Empire is like,
Which
that
Heart
kinda...
of Dixie show got canceled. Which is CBS show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something...
That's CW, isn't it?
It was a CW, you're right.
I believe this is also my theory with, oh my God, the main star of that show. Coach's wife, Connie Britton. I just also believe that she's professional, easy to work with, and people like her.
Yeah.
And she's got a present with people, like audience, they love her.
And I think they need to save Connie Britton from that show. Save Connie Britton.
Save Connie Britton.
That's kind of her baby, though.
I know, but I want to do something I want to watch.
So do I. I know.
And her and get Michael James Raymond, yeah. whatever. Yeah. Two, three first names.
Put the two of them in the same show.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's all we want.
And Holt McElhinney. Let's bring him back, too. I like that guy, too.
Yeah.
So our pickups. Let's move on to the dramas.
Yep.
First one is called Of Kings and Prophets. An epic biblical saga of faith, ambition, and betrayal, as told through the eyes of a battle-weary king, a powerful and resentful prophet, and a resourceful young shepherd on a collision course with destiny.
So King Saul, Moses, and Joseph.
Walk into a bar. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's... King Better Call.
So this has Ray Winstone and a bunch of other people I didn't recognize.
Ray Winstone's great.
You don't know Ray Winstone?
No, the rest
and a bunch of
them,
other people I didn't recognize.
Okay.
I don't have a particular interest in this, but I think when they try to do big biblical on TV, it's not going to work.
Well, you know what? The thing is, and this is because I think part of this is our political bent, is that I always look at the Bible as like fantasy anyway. So I find the stories like, oh, this is an interesting story. I don't believe any of this stuff. To me, Game of Thrones is no different than the Bible. Well, that's just me because I'm an atheist. But... If the human intrigue and all that and the warring, and I mean, I like that kind of stuff. I just wouldn't have a problem with it because I'm not going to criticize it because it's not the real word. I don't care.
Greg, Game of Thrones is way less bloody than the Bible.
It's probably more realistic,
there's,
too.
There's, less, there's also less incest.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? That is something. If you tweet it out. Not only, you know, that's something that might get a retweet from Ricky Gervais. How good it is.
I might get some retweets. I might get some other things, too.
I think that'd be a retweet from Ricky Gervais.
Where'd all our listeners go?
Anyway, but I you know, I like Ray Winstone. And
looking at the promo photo that they had for this, their costumes look corny.
That's what I was going to say. Like, it's going to be cheap.
You look at, say, like the movie Noah, which I didn't see, but I have some friends who saw it and enjoyed. Yeah. Big production values. I mean, the Ten Commandments is one of those great movies.
Right.
You can do this and do it well. I don't think ABC is going to be the one to do it.
From that photo, I think, they've missed the mark already.
If this was on HBO, I'd be very excited.
And this is the thing that I don't understand. They're owned by Disney. They have money. Why don't they invest? I mean, this is the same thing with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like you guys are talking about. Why don't they put more money into the effects and put money into these shows? I mean, were they that... I mean, I know that Lost was an expensive show.
Yeah, Lost looked great.
Yeah, but are they going against it because it's going against their budget lines now? But
I don't know. You know, it's funny. You can probably make a drinking game of every time I say I'd be excited if this was on HBO. I really have said this like four times in the last recording.
That's true.
I'm sorry. I'll try to stop repeating myself, but it's still true.
Hey, it'd be even better if it was on Showtime, too. You could just use Showtime because their shows are actually pretty good, too.
Our next show is called Quantico.
Oh, boy.
It's a diverse group of recruits have arrived at the FBI Quantico base for training. They are the best and brightest and most vetted. So it seems impossible that one of them is suspected of masterminding the biggest attack on New York City since 9/11.
Oh.
This has Priyanka Chopra and Doug Ray Scott. Priyanka Chopra is one of like the biggest Indian actresses from India.
Okay.
I think this is one of her first US
shows. She's not the one responsible for the attack, is she?
I don't know.
I mean,
Doug Ray Scott, who was the bad guy in Mission Impossible 2.
Yeah, he was almost Wolverine.
Yeah, and that's why I always remember about that.
That's what's sad. That is going to be on his tombstone.
Claim to fame.
Doug Ray Scott, almost Wolverine.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be this interesting.
I got to say, Quantico is one of my favorite words.
Yeah.
I love that the FBI, their training facility is at Quantico. Is that just the name of Virginia, right? It's just the name of is it the name of the city? Or is Quantico. It actually, is Quantico the name of the facility?
I should know this.
It's a base.
It's a base.
I love the name Quantico. I don't know what it is. It just sounds cool.
It does sound really cool.
So it's a good title.
Yeah.
So maybe this is a good title with a bad show, unlike all those shows with bad titles.
There is a movie. It was actually a really good action movie from the late 80s, early 90s with, who's in CSI New Orleans? No, CSI. What's his face? My God, what's the guy's name in CSI?
Gary Sinise.
No, he left it. It was the first guy in CSI.
Oh. David Caruso?
Not David Caruso.
What? Oh, no, David Caruso left NYPD Blue.
No, it was another guy. What?
The older dude? that William like
Peterson. Mark Harmon. Sorry.
Mark Harmon was on NCIS,
Jag?
Dude.
I get him messed up. I don't know.
And he's still on NCIS.
Okay, those shows get me. I get him mixed up. But he did this show based out of he did this movie out of Quantico that was like a naval kind of spy thing in the late. I can't remember the name of it, but it was like the late 80s, early 90s. It was really, really, really good.
Summer School, that's what it was. Love that movie.
Which, by the way, another good movie for you kids who don't remember. Mark Harmon, they were trying to make a Mark Harmon into a movie star, which should have happened. Yeah. I don't know why. He was pleasurable. But this kind of thing, the fact that you have an inside, did it happen type situation, I'm interested in. But ABC's done this before, and they mess it up.
Yeah,
like
that's the thing. It's not that the premise sounds bad; it's that I don't trust ABC to do it.
Yeah, for some like it's kind of like what's going on in American Crime now. It's kind of like what again with you know, flash forwards. Like it's an interesting premise, but they just don't execute them well.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I think you remember flash forward better than some of the people who were in it.
Because for the first, because it was really interesting for like the first like 10 episodes, and then it just got shitty. But it was, I thought it was a really interesting premise, and everything, and I was hooked. I wanted to see how I'd start. I think that might have been one of the first shows I started hate watching. I had to see like how's this stupid show going to end.
So our next show is currently untitled. It's an untitled Peyton Fishburne project, which I guess those are the two guys that are the writers, showrunners.
I don't know
who they are from anything else.
Okay. Not Lawrence Fishburne, is it?
No, it's not.
That's what I thought too, but it's not.
This is Billy and Cody Lefever dream of a new life beyond their working class roots and move to Bakken in North Dakota, booming after the biggest oil discovery in American history, only to be pitted against a ruthless tycoon.
Now,
so this has Don Johnson, Chase Crawford, Rebecca Rittenhouse, Delroy Lindo, and Amber Valletta among
a, and it's a period piece, right? It's got to be a period piece.
No. This is straight up on fracking. Because if you guys, because I like this because it's doing the fracking thing. Because now in North Dakota, there's so much stuff, so much of that fracking going on. Like, do you have the like insane housing prices because they make so much money on it? So this like this boom town thing, like prostitution, drugs have gone up in these small towns. So like, first of all, if it's going to be based on that kind of stuff, I'm down for that. I love Delroy Lindo.
Oh yeah, Delroy Lindo's the best.
I mean, he needs to be on TV more. Don Johnson, and I think he's got the chops to be a graceful, like kind of elder statesman actor.
Yeah, he does.
And I bet
he's playing the tycoon, my guess.
Or it could be.
Or is Del Orlando playing the tycoon?
Or is he down on his luck? Either way, Don Johnson gets he's a better actor than we think. And when you go back and watch.
That could go on his tombstone. Don Johnson, better actor than you think.
Well, he's one of those guys that I think it's going to stink, but if he passes away or something happens, then you're going to go back and you're going to have fond memories of everything he's been in. Because
I'm
going to
start calling you Greg Fate Praise Imani Smith.
I like Don Johnson. I love Don Johnson. I'm in for the show because
definitely a modern take, by the way.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. I'm in for the show.
Yeah,
so
it sounds interesting.
Sounds interesting, and hopefully they can execute it.
Our next one is called The Catch,
like the slap.
Yeah, I guess. A strong, successful fraud investigator is about to become the victim of fraud perpetrated by her fiancé.
Whoa, spoilers, Grant.
Whoa, sorry. Between her cases, she is determined to find him before it ruins her career. This has Marielle Enos
from The Killing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I put Alimi Ballard. I don't actually know who that is.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. This is a weird weird one. It's another one of these vocational irony narratives thing. She's the best there is, except she couldn't catch her fiancé.
I don't know. It's just kind of like The Blacklist. Yeah. You know?
I like Marielle Enos. I just don't know if I trust her agent.
I
didn't like The Killing. And
Network
the
TV.
Killing was...
I know. You guys tell me. Maybe someday I'll watch The Killing.
First season's Killing was really good.
There's a good point about how it fucked over the audience at the end of The Killing.
Yeah,
yeah.
In the first season, and then the second season was meandering.
Yeah.
But I still think the third and fourth are really good. Their performances, her and Holder, actor. He's in everything now. He's RoboCop.
He's a big Hollywood guy.
Yeah.
I like her, and you know, ABC, big check, good for her. A lot of exposure for her, even if the show doesn't do that great. I don't know. It just sounds really benign, and somebody who actually at one point in his life was actually going to look into becoming like a forensic accounting, it ain't that exciting. It really
what
is.
What if you
very
play
giant.
A lot of really exciting Chicago Med style music up against the sequences of you going through papers Wait, and ledgers?
You took all my money. I went down to the bank account, you know, and then they have all that loud dun 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 dun. All that
what
music
if,
underneath there.
What if the looking through the ledgers and fraud investigating is done with all the excitement of hacking in the '90s? What if there's big giant?
Remember those things?
What if there's a big giant like piece of green paper that says money lost?
You know, that's like, what is that Sandra Bullock movie, The Net? Which is like the most ridiculous movie to look back to look at now.
The most forward-looking internet movie of the 1970s.
I don't know.
It was just made in 2003.
I like her, and I hope she does. I hope it does well for her, but it doesn't sound like anything that's going to grab me.
Another generic name, The Family.
Oh, boy.
The return of a politician's young son who was presumed dead after disappearing over a decade earlier raises suspicion about whether he is really who he says he is.
See, the log line doesn't sound interesting, but Joan Allen, Allison Pill, Zach Gilford, and Andrew McCarthy?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and Margot Bingham as Sergeant Nina Meyer.
Yeah, I know.
Like Gregory,
I know. It's like, what is it with Nina?
Nina Meyer. I think that was Nina Meyer's in 24. Yeah,
no, it was. I mean, it was. Nina is such a name that it's funny because we were thinking about, if we had a daughter thinking about Nina, I'm like, I can't because of that because of 24. I just can't.
But seriously, that cast, Joan Allen, Allison Pill.
I got to see a trailer on this one.
Me too.
Is that Andrew McCarthy from...
Andrew McCarthy from the 80s.
The dead guy?
Yeah, Bernie, Weekend at Bernie's.
Well, he was an 80s star, man. He was Pretty in Pink.
I haven't
seen him in a while.
Yep. Well, no, he was on it, wasn't he?
Would you say he disappeared for 10 years and you're not sure it's actually Andrew McCarthy?
Maybe I have to see a modern picture of this guy.
Actually, you know where he's shown up as, and you guys would know this, was like later versions of Law and Order as a lawyer. He was actually really good. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Really good. So, I liked
Andrew McCarthy in the '80s,
and I thought he went and directed or something. I don't know what he
probably,
did.
Yeah, that's probably
But it sounds interesting. If it has like a sniff of what was that Will Smith's first movie? You know, when he was
Independence Day?
No. The first one he did, when he's pretending to be the guy.
I don't know what movie this is.
Is
it Wild Wild West?
Shit. No, his first movie.
Men in Black.
Opportunity Knocks.
No, when he's pretending to be someone he wasn't for the Aristocats. He's pretending to be...
That was Dana Carvey, by the way.
He's pretending to be Harry Belafonte's son. Biggest movie. The movie showed Deacon.
No idea what movie.
Mannequin.
Oh my god! You guys are killing me on this. Anyway, if it's something
that was the other guy from Beginning of Bernie's, I think.
Yeah,
no, that's Andrew McCarthy. That's Andrew McCarthy.
Totally
no, if it's like that movie, if it's like this movie that I'm thinking of that I am
that
going
no
to,
one else has heard of.
No, you've heard of it. It's Will Smith's first big movie. Everybody knows.
Oh,
this movie.
Philadelphia.
He wasn't in Philadelphia.
6 degrees, 8 of separation.
That was, you guys think he's, you think he's Denzel Washington.
Proof of life.
No, my gosh. This is, I'm pissed because.
Oh, wait, that was Russell Crowe.
No.
Wait.
No.
Made in America with Whoopi Goldberg and Ted Danson.
No.
This is really derailing us.
I know.
You look it up. We're going to move on to the next show.
I want
to
keep guessing movies.
The next one is Wicked City. This is each season is designed to follow a different case from a noteworthy era of LA history, starting with a murder case from 1982 centered on the rock and roll cocaine infused revelry of Sunset Strip.
Ooh.
So another sort of anthology.
I am totally in for this one.
In another early 80s show.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you know what happened in the early 80s in LA, that was a big murder. Oh my gosh.
The Black Dahlia.
No, with the it's the club
owner.
No, the club owner. This is killing me. It's late Saturday night. I know all these movies. Wonderland, that movie.
Yeah.
The movie with that murder. They do something around that.
Wasn't Ryan Murphy developing an American crime anthology, like true crime anthology?
Yeah, with Cuba Gooding Jr. It's going to be on FX.
Because that's the interesting thing. Is like this Wicked City is an anthology. It sounds kind of like that. And then American Crime sounded kind of like what he was working on. So there's a lot of sort of true crime in the air. I wonder if True Detective is what sparked all
By
this.
By the way, 6 years of separation.
Was I right about that movie?
6 degrees.
That's the one I said.
Did you say it? I didn't hear it.
I said it after Philadelphia.
Oh, 6 degrees. Yes, that's the one. Going back to the family, that if the guy is like Will Smith's character in six degrees of separation, I'd be into it. And with Wicked City, that's that Wonderland movie that had Val Kilmer playing John Holmes, where they have the real movie. If it's something like that,
I'd be interested in that. Made in America was one of his first movies.
Yes, it was.
6 Degrees.
Yes, you're right. I know.
Will Smith was Made in America,
and he was not in Philadelphia.
No, I know. I knew he wasn't in Philadelphia. He's from Philadelphia.
from West Philadelphia. Yeah. Born and raised.
Right. Yeah, he's from. But
this sounds Wicked City sounds interesting to me. I love the notion, especially. I would love for him to go back to 50s noir L.A. I hope at least one of the seasons is set there.
But even with Wicked City, and that's the other thing is that's like the beginning of like hair rock stuff. Like if you go back and watch Van Halen and like Van Halen doc or any Motley Crue documentary, all that crazy cocaine, and that's when Vince Neil from Motley Crue killed another guy in a drunk driving car.
We've all been there, guys.
Yeah.
No, he killed the lead singer of Henry Rocks, which was kind of a big deal. But I don't think he didn't serve any time or anything, which is really weird.
No, they have a separate court system and legal system for rockers.
Yeah.
He served time in rock jail.
And also, this is the year, or is it 82?
Jail is awesome.
Rock jail
is
really great. Yeah, there's groupies and cocaine.
And this was 83, where this is where the Beverly Hills Hotel, the Hotel Marmont, was when John Belushi died with all that. With all that cocaine,
I just totally thought like now I want to see a VH1 series called Rock Jail.
Actually, that's where Jailhouse Rock came from. It was when Jailhouse Rock was invented because Elvis was in Rock Jail for a little while.
After murdering
Little Richard,
he punched a guy in the throat.
Wow. Yeah,
no one knows that.
He time traveled, murdered Little Richard, and was put in Rock Jail. People don't know this.
Let's move on to comedies. So Uncle Buck is one of the first ones I keep reading.
Of the 70-some TV shows that they were going to make, or movies they're going to make in TV shows,
this is
one of the few that made it through.
It is. Mike Epps stars as the title character, a fun-loving but irresponsible guy who moves in with his brother Will, played by James Leisure, and his sister-in-law Cindy, Nia Long, to take care of their three kids. After their nanny quits.
No, I'll tell you, Nia Long should have been on TV more. She's a very beautiful woman.
She's going to be on Uncle Buck,
which is nice. And I like Mike Epps. He makes me laugh. So he's if you don't know him visually, he was in Fridays, the Ice Cube movie.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that was the sequel.
Yeah, sequel. Because he was the cousin that was trying to get.
Yeah, I like Mike Epps.
Yeah.
I guess the name Uncle Buck. I keep reading on HitFix. They're like the only one who keeps rallying about like how this is. I guess it's a racial slur.
Yeah, it is. I just caught that. I'm like,
it
wait
is
a minute.
Uncle, yes.
Yeah, they can't. You can't. No.
They're like you can't call it that.
You can't call it Uncle Buck.
But.
Especially,
I've never heard of that.
I have, but
there's a cutoff for my generation.
In the 80s,
yes,
and that's probably what's going on. The executives and all the guys naming it didn't know this, but
right.
In the 80s, in Captain America, they had there was a new Captain America and a new sidekick,
Bucky.
A black
Bucky.
Sidekick named Bucky, and they took a lot of heat off of that. They had to change his name because they did a thing in story where a black man came up to him and said, "You can't have him calling you Buck."
Right.
Yeah.
It's like a slave term.
Yeah.
Huh. Well,
unfortunate.
That.
Yes.
Well, I mean,
although they probably want to ride that name for the.
Yeah, they can't change the name.
Cred.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they name it.
Maybe just call it Uncle Buck, but not in a racist way.
That'd be funny.
Just put that in parentheses.
Uncle Buck, but not B-N-I. R-A, like in parentheses right after that.
Well, this is going on their same network with Blackish and Fresh off the Boat.
Yeah, so that's the other thing.
Got some cred, you're saying?
Yeah, I'm like, well, they're doing Blackish. And if the showrunner is black, who I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, then it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it is probably a Tempest in a Teacup kind of thing, but it is sort of unfortunate.
Yeah. Unless it's really funny.
Here's an exciting one. The Muppets are returning to ABC.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be a documentary-style show that will explore the Muppets' personal lives and relationships, both at home and at work, including breakups, romances, and more adult topics that lend themselves to be a reinvented version of the beloved characters.
You know what that means. Puppet three ways.
Yeah.
Sniffing coke off of Mrs. Piggy's ass.
Yep.
I don't see... Yeah.
Kermit's gambling troubles.
I loved the Muppets, but as a kid, I loved them from the 70s and 80s. But I'm kind of done with it. I didn't see the Muppet movies or the last Muppet movie. I don't have like this.
You know, you wouldn't watch an episode about Fozzie's suicidal depression?
I would watch
or
it. Was
Gonzo straight up murdering a person.
Yeah, but Gonzo's series of murders. I would covering up for years. Gonzo's drunk driving.
I would watch it on HBO. It'd be great.
You've gone too far, Gonzo.
How about the Swedish chef being busted by the INS?
That'd be awesome. Or they could show all the Latino cooks that other Latino illegals in the back.
No, actually, seriously, though, I was talking with one of our friends, Amanda, who is like Muppet fan number one. She loves the Muppets.
Yeah.
And she's always skeptical of this new stuff. But she said, I thought she made a really great point. She said the Muppets in the 70s, variety shows were really big, and that's why the Muppets. And then the 90s, Saturday Night Live was really big, and that's why they did a Saturday Night Live style Muppet show. The Office and mockumentary kind of thing is really big on TV and you know sort of recent, so it makes sense to do that format with the Muppets that it's that they adapt.
I think
format.
It'll be really fun.
I think it'll be really fun too. I think that using the phrase more adult topics not the best thing. I mean, great for us because that was a lot of fun, but maybe not the best way to pitch a show.
But it's still good for all family, all ages. Yeah, I don't know. See, I'm not as Muppet crazy as Amanda is.
How about Dr. Teeth's heroin problem?
Yeah, see, that'd be funny. Well, they should bring him back as like Fraggle Rock or something from the 80s. You know, some kind of weird mystical
word. How about Fraggle Rock, but as a metaphor for fracking?
Yeah, Fraggle Rock.
Because the Doozers are there building a fracking thing.
I'd watch that.
It's the Fraggles.
I'd watch that.
Community.
And Rock could be like, you know, Fraggle fracking in Rock could be for puppet cocaine.
Yeah.
Puppet crack. I'd watch that.
Dr. Ken. You guys remember Ken Jeong?
Yeah.
No.
The actor from Community.
Really? Yeah. I would never know. He's everywhere.
Actually a licensed doctor before he joined.
Yes,
he was
a doctor before, yeah.
Yeah, he was.
So he's getting a new show called Dr. Ken, which will follow a brilliant physician played by him with no bedside manner, of course. always trying to be a good doctor, husband, and father. He has a way of driving everyone nuts. Both at work and at home.
Sounds like him. That sounds like his characters all the time.
Other people you might recognize that are going to be part of the cast include Dave Foley and what's
Tisha
his name?
Campbell
Slavin, who's one of the people from Better Off Ted. He's one of the two scientists.
Oh, nice.
Tisha Campbell Martin. That's like, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't she in Martin back in the day?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Good to see you on TV again.
I like Ken Jeong. I've never thought they used him except for the first season of Community really well.
Right.
And I listened to an episode of a podcast called Death, Sex, and Money where he talked about him getting his big break on The Hangover, like right about the time his wife was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And sort of the mixed emotions that went in with that.
Wow.
And sort of listening to him. And he's a thoughtful guy. It's interesting to hear him talk. And I'm like, this is a guy who I think probably has more talent than we've seen.
Well,
yes.
Any guy who's
I always think that.
Literally a doctor.
Yeah.
And then can go and do comedy.
Yeah.
That's an interesting person, and I kind of wish more of that stuff would come out because he seems like an interesting dude.
It's like when you read about Dolph Lundgren, who's got all these like masters of like physics and other like
end of the universe,
degrees, end of the universe.
Yeah,
and then he went and became like one of the biggest action stars.
Yeah, he went to Harvard and got a master's of the universe degree.
Yeah, see. I would love to see that. You know, I would love to see Master Universe and Dr. Ken Jeong, and I'd like to see Dolph Lundgren fight crime together.
Yeah, but
I want to see a Photoshop picture of He-Man wearing his cap and robe and holding his Masters of the Universe degree.
Well, I mean, we all know the scandal that cost Skeletor his tenure. So
okay, and our last comedy from ABC is The Real O'Neills. This is a contemporary take on a seemingly perfect Catholic family whose lives take an unexpected turn when surprising truths are revealed. Instead of ruining their family, the honesty triggers a new, messier chapter in which everyone stops pretending to be perfect and actually start getting real. Real world.
Yeah, that's what I heard. when everyone stops being Catholic and starts being real.
That's what happens.
The real world.
If this was a reality show of like Ryan O'Neal and Tatum O'Neal and John McEnroe
and Shaquille O'Neal.
And Shaquille, That is, come on.
The real O'Neill.
Where, hey, where is Vince Gilligan? Vince Gilligan, call us up. This is, I got a pitch for you. Tatum O'Neill, Ryan O'Neill, Shaquille O'Neill, the real O'Neills. Go.
And is it Ed O'Neill?
Ed O'Neill,
oh,
yes.
Oh, shit, there's another one.
I'd watch that show in 2 seconds. I would.
And weirdly.
April O'Neill?
And April O'Neill, yes.
She's a little bit fictional.
For the Turtles.
Yeah.
Everybody,
she's
everybody
not real O'Neill.
And weirdly, Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
This stars Martha Plimpton and yes. J.R. Ferguson, who you might know as Stan from Mad Men.
Yes.
Yep.
But he doesn't have his big old beard. So what's
boo.
The point? Yeah. Fuck off, beardless J.R. Ferguson.
I might watch this because I like Martha Plimpton and I like.
I'm curious. It doesn't grab me off the top of my head, but maybe.
So that's it for their dramas and their comedies. Let's take our picks.
Mm. All right. So my pick is definitely Wicked City and the dramas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dr. Ken and comedy. It's almost The Muppets, but I think Dr. Ken.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm interested in Quantico, actually, quite a bit. And The Muppets. I can't wait to see The Muppets.
I wish The Muppets was called Quantico and was set as The Muppets were
all
diverse
FBI
group
agents.
Of recruits that have arrived at the FBI puppet Quantico base.
Can you imagine someone with a Muppet on their hand?
Yeah.
Like being a professional FBI spy?
Hey, let's look at this. Yeah, now I wish I had the video. Hey, let's look at this.
Spy ever.
Yeah.
But they suspect that Animal might in fact be your mastermind of the biggest attack on New York City since 9/11.
Well, he does blow stuff
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
What's your pick?
I actually like the Untitled Pate and Fishburne project because I like the idea of the fracking and what's going on there.
In North Dakota.
North
okay.
Dakota. And I would say... I'm willing to give, even if they keep Uncle Buck, I'm willing to give Mike Epps some props and give him a chance because I like him. I think he's really, really, really funny, and he doesn't get it. I think hopefully the show can show that he can carry it. He's kind of like, he always was kind of like a crazier version of J.B. Smooth, mm-hmm. who I can never get enough of. So I'm willing to give Uncle Buck or Uncle Call It Something Different a chance.
Uncle Bernard, whatever, just change it. It's easy.
Maybe we do like CBS did when they had Shit My Dad Says, Uncle Bleep.
Uncle Bleep.
Uncle Bleep.
They just can't say it.
You know what? That'd be funny. Uncle Bleep.
CBS. So a couple of cancels.
Wait. I just thought of something what we can call CBS. Continually broadcasting shit. Because it's like the same, like Hawaii 5-0, you know, same shit over and over and over again.
Yeah, CSI. Those are renewed, guys. Somehow.
Wow, what a shock.
So a couple of the shows that got cut, Battle Creek, the Vince Gilligan.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch
name
that?
Only
no,
show.
I heard good things about yeah. it, actually.
It was okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw the first episode, and I was like, it's okay.
I swear I thought Heart of Dixie was CW.
It is.
Okay.
I put it on the wrong one.
Oh, okay.
The McCarthys,
which
had a lot of
know.
Our favorite actors.
Yeah,
actually
that's,
on
that's a free.
Will Arnett right. and Bridges, what's his name? Bo Bridges.
Oh,
Bridges.
Yeah, and yes. this is Margo Martindale.
Margo yes. Martindale.
Free
Margo Martindale.
Free oh, wait, to go no, back that was the Millers.
That's the Millers.
Yeah, that's
Millers.
That's
not
the McCarthys.
No, the Miller, it's funny.
Andrew McCarthy?
No, it's funny because they don't. I guess they don't have news on like the Millers.
Was this a story of Joe McCarthy and his wacky adventures busting communists?
His son Andrew McCarthy.
This was the Irish Catholic family that fights a bunch. Irish Catholic family
canceled because no one knew it existed.
Yeah, yes. The Millers and the McCarthy. Man, it's easy to mix these things up.
Yes, that's true.
And then Stalker,
Stalker was canceled.
Yeah. I have a soft spot, I have to admit, for Elizabeth Rom.
Sure, me too. But Stalker, by all accounts, was awful.
I know, but she tried so. I mean, she was all over social media. She tried it, Instagram, just try to get in the audience, try to getting people involved.
Yeah, ironic. Someone started stalking her because of all our social media activity.
I know.
Ironic and terrible.
Is that true?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I love Elizabeth Rom, and she tried so hard. I was just so happy for her.
Her being all over social media just made me think there's a stalker joke in there somewhere.
Yeah. Oof. No, I don't know if there's a joke.
She was
about stalking
fans, and it didn't work.
Ba-dum-boom. There you go. So all right. Yeah.
But they were nude. Hawaii 5-0 and CSI.
And
I'm sure they were new to a bunch of their shows.
Yeah,
the
Millers.
Hawaii 5-0 is still on.
Yeah, Hawaii 5-0 is the spread, though.
That show is, like you say, comfort TV. I mean, it's like a machine.
The funny thing is, like, if I still watch TV, like watch TV randomly, like put stuff on, I could see myself stopping and watching an episode of Hawaii 5-0.
I can never see you watching it.
It looked great.
It looks good.
Because you're never watching me when I'm watching CSI, when I'm watching Hawaii 5-0.
I'm stalker.
You're not a stalker. Hawaii 5-0, it's got a decent cast. It's really beautiful looking.
Hawaii 5-0, it reminds me of like 80s shows.
Yeah.
You know, just like all those like standards dramas, you know, everything solved. And
it's a well-crafted procedural. Yeah. It's just that TV has moved past.
Right. And so maybe if I was 11 years old and couldn't watch cable, I'd watch that.
Well, looking at the pickups, if you guys were curious where some of those movie adaptations to TV
went. Oh, here they are.
CBS actually had a couple go through. First one is Rush Hour, which I didn't even know about, actually.
I forgot about this one.
Yeah.
Justin Hires from 21 Jump Street and John Fu from Tekken, I guess the movie, are going to be the new Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan. Like the 1998 action comedy, the series will follow a loudmouth LAPD officer who's paired with a by-the-book Hong Kong police officer. The original film's director, Brett Ratner, is executive producing along with Bill Lawrence.
Well, there's nothing like a 15-year-old remake of a 48 Hours.
Now they would.
Bill Lawrence is on this too.
Yeah. Bill Lawrence, this thing. Bill Lawrence doesn't usually do.
I see tacking his name on everything.
I wouldn't have thought this would be up his alley. What? But executive producing doesn't necessarily mean that's the only thing that interests me about this. Rush Hour is an old, tired formula.
It was
funny. On CBS.
But see, it was funny because it was Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker who were funny.
Yeah.
Now, they picked this up and they didn't pick up Beverly Hills Cop.
Beverly Hills Cop, by all accounts, was not a great pilot.
Oh, okay.
I've heard.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It might be okay. It'll depend on the stars and if they've got like a decent relationship.
It's not one I'm super excited about.
But it'll probably do well, and they'll probably get guest stars with Chris. Yeah. Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan a little bit, and they'll be huge.
I guess Jackie Chan would do it.
This is right up CBS's alley, though. It's familiar comfort food TV.
Yeah. No, yeah. I wouldn't mind it because there was that crazy show with. This is going to sound terrible, but do you remember like the 90s? It was a crazy show. I don't know if it was that Don Johnson show with the heavier set Asian action guy.
Yeah,
you know
Sammo Hung?
Yeah, what was his show called?
I don't know.
But you remember the show, though. It was actually kind of funny and interesting.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
This was in the age of Walker, Texas Ranger, and Don Johnson's, Nash Bridges.
Nash Bridges, in the same vein. Yeah, and it was like a Saturday night block of all these weird action shows that are actually surprisingly kind of funny and good.
Yeah, Walker, Texas Ranger, and all that stuff.
But I don't know, maybe if, you know, they can, if that can... If this relationship goes fine, it's right up
CBS's alley. It's probably not up ours.
I'm so not interested.
Yeah. I know.
I don't think is really interested.
But I think 5 years now, I was like, that show's still on?
Yeah, that's where we'll be. Yeah.
So the next one is Limitless. And of course, they would take this property and just cram it into a police procedural.
Yep.
But Jake McDornan is Brian, who unlocks his full potential after using the drug NZT. The FBI then coerces him into using those newfound abilities to, of course, help them crack their cases.
Yeah.
You know, the FBI...
Mark Webb is directing the
They couldn't
the,
find anything
pilot.
Else interesting for a guy who's like... one of the smartest people on the planet today.
Why not follow his political career set up at the end of the movie?
Exactly.
I mean, I loved Limitless. Yeah, I think it's a great. I actually just bought it on Blu-ray because it's
such a fun superhero movie. Right.
It's a great movie. And they have a setup. Yeah. Like, you follow him into politics and see if being that smart helps him. You could do this.
It kind of could go in the vein of House of Cards.
Yeah.
Yes.
That way.
But instead, he's going to help the FBI solve crimes.
I tell you, the FBI is like the most
inept. Can't people just say no, FBI?
They need a lot of outside help.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because my dad was a DEA agent, and I actually had a friend of mine whose father was an FBI agent. So I'm like, man, the FBI just gets shit on all the time. Like, the FBI always needs help. I mean, none of their agents are ever are any good. This FBI always like, we need an outside guy. Get that psychic.
I think there's an outside shot. This could be entertaining, but I believe this is pretty much going to be right in the Hawaii 5-0 down
elementary.
The line.
Elementary.
Yeah, elementary.
Thing.
Yeah.
So next show is Supergirl. This is Kara Zor-El, who escapes Krypton just as it was destructing. She's grown up on Earth as Kara Danvers, but the FBI coerces her to join them. But at the age of 24, she decides to embrace her superhuman abilities and use them for good.
Now, the most interesting thing about this, of course, is it's Greg Berlanti, one of the producers.
Right.
And that it is in continuity with the CW shows. That's what they've said.
Mm-hmm. That is very cool.
If they're doing
it's just weird
it's weird on
why
CBS.
Is that on CBS?
Yeah. This is so off-brand for CBS.
They might be actually trying something different.
I don't know. I'm hopeful for this one. I would really like this to be good.
Have they Flash ever had Arrow, like shared universe between two networks like this?
I'm almost certain they have. Someone else will probably correct us on this, but I don't remember one
like this. No. Not on two networks, different shows.
That, what was the hospital show, St. Elsewhere?
Yeah.
St. Elsewhere is technically in continuity with everything because everyone's the dreams of everyone connects into that boy and in the globe.
Yeah.
Like, there were all kinds of crossovers there where you can connect. That's like the Kevin Bacon of TV.
Right.
Yeah. You can connect St. Elsewhere to every TV show.
I guess there's, what's his name, Munch. Munch.
Well,
Homicide. Guy in every show.
Homicide,
every
LA, you know, and Law and Order, where they had a bunch of crossover
things. There's been crossover characters.
But this is between two networks, though.
Yeah. It's interesting. Oh, yeah. Buffy and Angel.
There you go.
The last seasons of Buffy and Angel, one was on the WB and one was on the CW? Not the CW, whatever it was. UPN. Now, eventually they merged, of course, but at the time they were two different networks and Buffy and Angel were not direct. Like, they didn't reference each other a lot, but they did reference each other from time to time. So it's been done, but it's not. And always
but
in genre
shows. These are concurrently running. Were those running at the same time?
The last season of Buffy and the second to last season of Angel.
That is good call there, Randy.
But the thing about this is, even Berlanti's been hit and miss. Like, I have not been enjoying much of Arrow this season,
right?
And I'm not sure if Supergirl is going to be great or not, but I'd like it to be. I really like what they've done with The Flash. I'd like them to expand that universe.
I think everyone loves what they've done with The Flash, and like, he's getting a lot of mileage out of it right now.
Mileage.
Oh,
see what you did
boy.
There.
Okay. Hey, Criminal Minds has another chapter, Beyond Borders, which focuses on the division of FBI that helps Americans who find themselves in danger abroad.
You know what's interesting?
Gary Sinise will be in this.
You know what's interesting? That's actually not a bad premise. If there's a division of the FBI, and maybe there is, that helps Americans who find themselves in danger abroad, that's a potentially interesting story, but not on CBS.
It's no. Man, it's like they always have these CBS, they always have that show with the guy from Lost that he was like traveling the world, intelligence, and the premise is set up, it looks good, but it's just so just.
They're going to make it boring.
Unoriginal, but it'll be great. And I mean, it'll do really great with the ratings.
Yeah, it'll be
on
for 100 years.
Did they have a star attached to this yet?
Gary Sinise.
Really?
Yeah. Seriously?
Gary Sinise is going to be in this.
So Gary Sinise jumped franchises from CSI to Criminal Minds.
Yep.
Okay.
That's weird. That they should actually. Now that's something I would watch. All those head guys like Gary Sinise and Mark Harmon,
Ted Danson.
And Ted Danson. They should all switch like CSI.
Rotate.
They should all rotate those crime procedural shows. I'd watch that.
No, you wouldn't. And then speaking of tried and cliche, Code Black, a medical drama series takes place in the busiest and most notorious ER in the nation.
There are a lot of busiest,
but which one is that?
ER in the nation.
They don't name it?
No. Ensemble is led by Marcia Gay Harden.
I love
Free Marcia Gay Harden.
Louise Guzman.
I love him,
and some
too.
Other people.
Free Louise Guzman.
Yeah.
There's some checks, man.
Man, Marcia Gay Harden. I got it.
Yeah.
Marcia Gay Harden was great on Trophy Wife. Like, fantastic. Playing a doctor.
Yeah.
I think the only way I'll enjoy Code Black is to pretend that this is a continuation of Trophy Wife and keep wondering where Malin Ackerman is.
Now, but this sounds like an example for me of Jalen Rose from NBA. He can't come up with this thing called when people are just hanging out. He goes, it's one of those keep getting them checks. He's like, he always says about like old players who are like trying to, they're on the end of the bunch. He does that. You're doing that. Keep getting them checks. And this to me is like Marcia Gay Harden and Luis Guzman says, man, you know, I really want to need that house in Cabo. Keep getting them checks. Okay, yeah. I'll do it.
This is easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got a couple of probably disappointing comedies as well. CBS is just always disappointing to me. Life in Pieces is a single cam family sitcom. James Brolin, so Diane Weist.
I love Diane Weist.
Zoe Lister-Jones, Colin Hanks.
Love Colin Hanks.
Angelique Cabral.
Like her.
Dan Bachendahl.
Yes. Yep.
Betsy Brandt from Breaking Bad.
That's just such a good cast.
It's got to be.
And all it says is single cam family.
No, I know that this is another one like Modern Family. It's across a variety of generations.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like
Parenthood or something.
Diane Weist and James Brolin will probably be the either married or divorced patriarch and matriarch of the family. Mm-hmm. Then there'll be the bunch of the kids. And oh, man, that is such a good cast. I will have to at least see an episode and see if they can pull it off.
They might
and
be single able
cam.
To.
It's not multicam.
That's encouraging. Yeah.
So.
Has CBS done a single cam comedy recently?
I'm sure they've done a few.
I can't think of one.
I don't know. I've done
recently.
Yeah. I don't know what CBS does.
Mm. Yeah.
Angel from Hell is the other comedy that has Jane Lynch, Maggie Lawson, and Kevin Pollak.
I love all those people.
When Amy, who's Jane Lynch, enters the life of Allison Lawson and claims to be her guardian angel.
They help the LAPD solve crimes.
Of course they do. They form an unlikely relationship. And Allison can't be sure if Amy is an angel or just
it actually sounds more like Cupid.
The most notorious ER in the nation.
LAPD soft crime in the most mysterious ER in the nation. Supergirl and Life in Pieces, actually. It's an easy pick.
Life in Pieces and maybe.
I love that even on a theoretical level, Greg can't bring himself to watch CBS.
I can't even
think about watching CBS.
I'm looking at this and I'm just depressed too. I'm like, do I even want to watch Supergirl? I'm not sure.
I just can't see them changing directions or changing the brand of their network. So you know, even reading all this stuff, you know how the shows are going to look.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's Leslie Moonves, if that's just maybe he needs, if that they would change it because they're successful, but
yeah.
If he changed or they got new leadership, and not saying they're going to because there's no reason for them
no,
to.
No, CBS isn't aimed at us.
Actually, what we forgot on it was going to be the most interesting one is going to be the late night show.
Oh, yeah.
Stephen Colbert. That's going to be the more. That's going to be the most interesting thing I'm going to watch on CBS.
So Greg is cheating.
Yeah, Greg pulled out a ringer. You
Well, that's something we kind of forgot on here. But yeah, I'll say that, and I'll say Life in Pieces. And I actually will probably watch all of, at least an episode of all of these shows. Because,
try them out.
Well, because they always end up on TV. Like, if you're doing something, like in the background,
sure.
And it's on. Like, oh, let me check this out or whatever. So,
forced to pick something. Supergirl and Life in Pieces. That sounded good, Randy.
Yeah.
CBS. Watch us with your eyes half open.
Continually broadcasting bullshit.
CBS.
So CW actually, it has some news that we can report on.
How is the CW my favorite network? What is up with that?
That's weird. That is
my
very
favorite
weird.
Network. Mm-hmm. They have my two of my favorite shows right now.
Right.
Which are Arrow and Heart of Pixie.
Arrow, which I have some bad news about.
I was going to go with the Vampire Diaries, but yeah. No, Flash and iZombie, of course.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So the cancellations at CW, The Messengers and Heart of Dixie are both gone.
Yep.
Renewals include Flash, iZombie, Jane the Virgin, Arrow.
Yep.
So the show's actually doing pretty well, and I hear great things about Jane the Virgin. I still haven't caught it
Me yet. Too. Yeah. As soon as it hits Netflix, because CW stuff does hit Netflix, I'll probably go through. My daughter watched the first episode, and she liked it.
Okay.
But the big first pickup that it's got a lot of people excited, probably Randy included.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Legends of Tomorrow, or DC's Legends of Tomorrow, I believe is the full title. Brandon Routh stars as the Atom, a superhero team up that pulls in its cast from both DC efforts, Arrow and Flash.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So Routh will team up with a motley crew of heroes and villains, including Dominic Purcell as Heatwave and Wentworth Miller as Captain Cold.
Clearly, they loved those guys.
Yeah, those guys get the two bylines on the cast sheet at the end.
Yeah.
To stop an seemingly unstoppable threat.
Now, here's the interesting thing: Legends in the comics is a crossover series that they use to introduce some threats from Darkseid.
Oh, yeah?
Some of the Fourth World, some of the bad guys. Like
Granny Goodwitch?
Granny Goodness, but it wasn't her. It was Glorious Godfrey, who was posing as sort of the... Gilbert Godfrey.
I think it's Gilbert you're talking about.
Glorious Godfrey was posing as this right-wing radio host and was sort of stirring up trouble in the name of Apocalypse, the alien world. It's a big epic thing. If that's the threat they're aiming for, like the Fourth World, A, that's cool of them to do in live-action TV, and B, that'd be really cool.
And... who else is this actually pulling in?
Well, there's Katie Lotz, who may or may not be playing Black Canary since she was dead last time we saw her.
Right.
There's Firestorm.
That's right.
And there's somebody else.
Victor Garber, who is going to be... Victor Garber, and I guess he's one half of Firestorm.
And, the brother of Stephen Amell, Robbie Amell.
Right.
Robbie Amell?
Yeah, and then there's somebody else. They've introduced
Ciara Renee, who's going to be Hawk Girl.
Right. Arthur Darvill as Rip Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Time Master.
Jay Jackson, do you know who that is?
No.
Franz Drama is going to play that.
And there's one more main cast member I'm blanking on, but there were three new heroes. And I know Hawkgirl was one, Rip Hunter was another, and I can't remember who the other one was. But it's a good cast of DC, sort of just like Flash and Green Arrow are not the first people you'd think of to make the cornerstone of your universe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not the first guys you'd think of, but it's a good lineup.
But they're the ones that are available.
Yeah. And as a result, they're doing more with them.
How do they not have Blue Beetle yet? And I know. Booster Gold.
Well, Brandon Routh was supposed to be Blue Beetle originally.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he
Is
was
that
supposed
why?
To be, he was supposed to be Ted Kord.
That's why his character's kind of like that.
They pulled it because there was some kind of movie they were going to do. They didn't do it, so it's kind of too bad because the Atom is a weird Iron Man clone and mostly works because it's Brandon Routh and he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next show is called Cordon. Revolves around an epidemic that breaks out in Atlanta, leaving some people stuck on the outside of a large city quarantine. It's based on a Belgian series,
which is weirdly also set in Atlanta. The Belgians love Atlanta.
They love Atlanta.
No.
What? This is CDC.
This is clearly... Atlanta has that big...
It's the CDC.
Georgia has this big film credit, though. That's why The Walking Dead is filmed there.
Well, it's also the CDC, too.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But there's a big film credit to film in Georgia. But it is kind of funny that Atlanta, if the epidemic is zombies... It's an unofficial crossover with Walking Dead.
I'm telling you, we don't know what's going on in that Centers of Disease Control.
This is a good premise for drama.
In a way, it kind of sounds like it's like the people on the outside of Under the Dome.
Yeah.
These people can't get in.
Well, outside the Dome.
It's interesting because...
the spinoff series.
Is this the first time like the CW has like co-opted a foreign show like that?
Jane the Virgin actually is, I believe.
I guess you're right, yeah. Is it? A foreign show?
And Arrow was originally made in Kuwait. Weirdly.
No.
The
reason why I'm asking is because those shows tend to have a little bit more weight to them. I mean, or a little bit more, a little heftier, a little bit more, I'd say gravitas or something like that. But
yeah.
So this, I mean, because I don't watch anything on the CW. So something like
or on Belgian TV.
And maybe you should be because, man, their shows are sounding actually kind of cool.
They've got some good shows.
Yeah. I need to.
The next one?
The next one is Tales from the Dark Side.
Right.
Which, is a reboot of the 84 to 88 series, which is a fantasy thriller anthology series. Joe Hill wrote the pilot.
Yeah, Joe Hill's stuff is great.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's the son of Stephen King, for those who don't know.
Yes.
And this is... the original show had a lot of the horror works of like Clive Barker, Stephen King, etc. So yeah, it's gonna have some interest.
I'm very excited about this. A good horror, you know, Twilight Zone-ish anthology. Right. Joe Hill writing the pilot. I'm looking forward to this.
Definitely. And the last one from them is Dead People. This centers on an alcoholic cab driver played by Animal from The Muppets who gains the ability to interact with ghosts, including his late ex-wife, after a near-death experience. Carpinos wrote this, whoever's Carpinos, and this is executive produced with J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot.
Dead People.
This just also doesn't sound like a CW show.
No.
And it's exciting to see them kind of getting into this stuff a little bit more.
By the way,
I think it just shows a little bit more of their maturity.
It says his late ex-wife. Does that mean that she died, or did he divorce her and then she died? Because can you imagine you divorce your ex-wife and you think you're done? She dies. And then she comes back as a ghost.
No.
Yep. That's what it sounds like. And he's an alcoholic cab driver. It's just like,
Yeah. You again? Jeez.
I don't know about this one. I'm not 100% interested. Well, I need to see a trailer.
Yeah, there's no other. I mean, I guess at least he's not, you know, working in the most dangerous ER in the world or trying to solve crimes with Lucifer
in LA. He's an alcoholic cab driver who drives to the most dangerous ER in the world.
And that the FBI needs his help to solve cases.
So, Greg, what's your picks? What's your pick, I guess? We don't have any comedies.
I'll try this Cordon. I'll try that.
All right.
I mean, my pick should be is like iZombie, because Randy's been raving about it.
I love iZombie.
I really should jump pick on that it, up. Yeah. I should, yeah.
What do you got, Randy?
Of course I'm going Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I'm super excited about this.
I mean, I've never been interested in pretty much any of those characters.
Yeah.
So I was at least interested in the Flash.
But you're liking Flash, right?
Yeah, and I am loving
And they're
Flash.
Doing a lot of those characters are from Flash, so.
Yeah. Legend of Tomorrow, I guess, is definitely going to be the one I'll check out. I'm actually kind of interested in all of them, really.
Yeah. CW has the strongest slate.
Yeah. Wanted to jump in and mention the PlayStation Network because Power's got renewed.
I can't believe it. Okay. I don't know what this says for the PlayStation Network, that their first show
is that bad, and they're
renewing
it.
That's terrible.
That to me is like they're trying to build something.
Yeah, Powers is a great example of a show you go, you know what? We tried. Let's try another show.
But they don't have anything else, maybe. Yeah. It seems like they have nothing else.
Yeah, they got the rights to that somehow, and they're like, let's roll with it. Yeah. And let's fuck it up.
And maybe it gets better. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen shows get better.
If anyone is watching Powers and thinks that it got better, I'd like to know that, actually. Let us know if they fix that character, all those characters, and everything.
And I won't trust you to tell us that. I've heard reports that it's gotten worse.
Well, that's it, guys. We rounded out another full episode, actually. Yep. Thank you guys for checking us out here at the TV Dudes. And be sure to like us on Facebook, like us on Twitter. If you guys go to iTunes, please give us that 5-star rating and review. It really helps out the show. And you can also support us on Patreon over at patreon.com/TV Dudes. Kick us a couple bucks, and we'll be eternally grateful.
I want people to post their idea for what the Muppets adult theme should be in the comments, and tweet at us. I want to know your ideas for what adult themes the Muppets show should handle.
Oh, boy.
And stay tuned. We'll be back with some more general TV talk next week. Till then,
TV Dudes out.